You're listening to OWW Radio,
the official radio program of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com.
All right, all right. All right, so here we are. Living it day by day, you are a superstar. And that's what she used to always say.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of OWW Radio. This is the official radio program of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. Each week, OWW Radio will bring perspective to the WWE, TNA, and everything else making news in the world of professional wrestling. My name is David, and I am joined today, as always, by my broadcast partner, Jamie. How are you doing today, bud?
Well, Dave, I'm a little flat, I'll be honest with you. I thought, you know, it's WrestleMania season, I'm all excited, and I think we could be seeing a little more action leading up towards WrestleMania. So I have to be honest with you, Dave, just a little flat today.
Well, we are getting closer and closer to WrestleMania 28 now, only about 3 weeks away. Personally, I think the WWE has done a good job generating excitement for their signature show. I mean, there's been a lot of television time devoted to building up the matches on the card, but you know, I'm certainly looking forward to getting your thoughts on that, plus everything else going on with wrestling today. I did want to mention here, Jamie, right at the top, that sad news broke this week about Kia Stevens. And for everyone here at OWW Radio, we send our support and heartfelt condolences to her and her family.
Yeah, Dave, I hear you. I agree wholeheartedly, and best wishes to the family.
Yeah, it's very sad. So, again, from everyone here at OWW Radio, we wish Kia the best. Okay, should we get started?
Let's ring the bell, Dave.
World Wrestling Entertainment. It was announced this past week on Monday Night Raw that HBK, Shawn Michaels, will be the special guest referee for the Hell in a Cell match. Mr. WrestleMania is once again coming to WrestleMania. Jamie, for me, I think this is a positive note because basically this means that another big star will be appearing at WrestleMania. I'm not always crazy about special referees, and I think I would have liked it maybe had it just been The Undertaker versus Triple H, because I'm not crazy about seeing a screw job ending in this match. But it does provide a different dynamic. I like Shawn Michaels, and it provides some continuity with the past several years where The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels had those legendary matches. So I was kind of interested in what you felt about HBK showing up this year in Miami.
I just don't know where they're going to go with this, Dave. I mean, it seems like a no-win situation. Let's say there's no way The Undertaker is going to lose. Let me preface everything I say by saying that there's no way he's going to lose. So that means Michaels screws Hunter out of a win. So where do they go with that? I mean, please, you know, is Shawn Michaels going to come back and wrestle again? I don't know, Dave. I'm kind of sour on this whole situation.
Well, you make a good point, because if they do something where Shawn Michaels is intimately involved in the result, he has to come back in some capacity more than just this night, right? It'd be difficult, I think, for us to buy the fact he comes back, he's a guest referee, he impacts the outcome of this match, and then he disappears again. That, to me, would not be great storytelling.
And, Dave, just, again, Undertaker will not lose. If by some chance he does lose, and it's because Shawn Michaels interferes, are we going to have a fifth year of either Triple H or Shawn Michaels next year against Undertaker?
Well, if they do that, they're going to be carrying you and me out of Miami. They carried The Undertaker last year because I can't take any more. This will be enough for me. I'd like to see an end, a conclusive end to where this has gone. But let me say this. I think that you can't deny the star power that we now have in WrestleMania 28 with The Rock and John Cena, and this here what people would consider is the second main event of the night. And adding Shawn Michaels does add that star power. It adds a bit of intrigue, but again, I'm not crazy about seeing a screw job ending in these big matches. We've seen it before at WrestleMania. I don't necessarily need it here.
Yeah, all that I'll say, Dave, is, and I said this last week, you're wasting John Cena against Undertaker, Chris Jericho against Undertaker, CM Punk against Undertaker, even Sheamus against Undertaker. 4 years now, we've had two guys wrestling Undertaker, and time to move on.
I don't know. Triple H has never been accused of inserting high-profile storylines, right?
I like his suits.
A lot of time has been spent building up the feud between Raw General Manager John Laurinaitis and SmackDown General Manager Teddy Long. To me, this has been much better than Michael Cole versus Jerry Lawler from last year, or frankly, even the Vince McMahon versus Bret Hart garbage from 2 years ago, which I thought was very poorly done. Jamie, aside from me actually pronouncing John Laurinaitis' name correctly, what has been the best part about this feud for you, or do you like it at all?
Yeah. Well, you bring up a great point. I agree with you 100%. This is better than King versus Cole last year. This has some meaning to it. Mm-hmm. You know, we're talking about the GM-ship for the Raw brand and for the SmackDown brand. So there is some meaning. And quite honestly, when you look at the GMs in the WWE, I guess including the anonymous GM, I think John Laurinaitis has done a great job. I'm a big Laurinaitis fan.
It kind of came out of nowhere for me. I thought he was awful the first, 2 months he was on the program. I can't get enough of him now. I think he's hilarious.
He's hilarious, and he's goofy, and I don't think he tries to be goofy. but he is, and Punk has just played him up perfectly. Give CM Punk a lot of credit for making this guy look good.
Well, one thing that's interesting about John Laurinaitis is that he comes out and tries to make you believe he has all this power. But we all know he's just kind of a stooge. Like when McMahon inserted himself into the Stone Cold storylines, we all knew he was the owner of the company. There was legitimate power there, right?
Correct. John Laurinaitis is the executive vice president of talent relations and the interim Raw general manager.
And the way he says it is so great. But the one thing I like about where they're going with this and why I think it has a nice spot on the WrestleMania card is because they are going to insert other wrestlers into some kind of multi-person tag match, whether it be Kofi Kingston, Dolph Ziggler, whoever it is, guys who can really work, guys who deserve a spot on WrestleMania and actually will wrestle and give us a great show in that regard. So to me, that's what was so terrible about the Cole versus Jerry Lawler situation, which was just a joke, and we all knew Bret Hart couldn't work by the time he came back.
Yeah. Dave, do you think this is an opportunity for Jack Swagger and Dolph Ziggler to square off against Kingston and call it R-Truth? I mean, who do you think they'll insert in that spot?
Well, I think that's correct, although I think that they're going to use this almost as a replacement of Money in the Bank and that they're going to get as many people as possible in this match. So I think we may see even something like a five-on-five tag team match.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. Because, and it would be a nice spot for a lot of those guys. At least they would get some kind of meaningful action on the card.
Yeah, very good.
Rumors have been circulating that there may not even be a Divas match on the card. Maybe a dark match, but at this point, nothing maybe on the main show itself. The obvious booking was either Beth Phoenix versus Karma or Beth Phoenix versus Natalya. Now, for various reasons, these matches don't appear to be coming together, so now what? Jamie, you know I'm a big Divas fan, but I have a feeling this division's in trouble. I have a good feeling about the way they're using some people like Eve and Rosa Mendez, who's the manager for the tag team champions. I think they found good spots for some of the girls. The problem is the Divas champion, the title holder, really should be in some kind of power position here heading into your main show. Here we are 3 weeks or so away from WrestleMania. Beth Phoenix really nothing to do. And I know that her two main opponents, for various reasons, aren't going to be, I guess, at this point, booked one-on-one with her. The most disheartening is Natalya. I don't like this juvenile storyline of hers. And I would like your opinion on, at this point, should they move the Divas match to just being off the main show?
Yeah. First of all, I will bring a box of Kleenexes for you if they're not on the show.
Oh, God. I know
how you feel about this one. Dave, I mean, the Divas have not been booked correctly in how many years?
Long time.
It's a joke. It's a complete joke. And, you have somebody who is perhaps the most talented diva in all of wrestling in Beth Phoenix, a very talented person in Natalya. They're screwing this up left and right. You mentioned some good spots for some people, Eve included. They're going to screw this up. They'll screw this whole thing up with Eve. And they've done it for a while, and I think they really have trouble, moving into more of a PG environment and how to properly utilize the Divas.
Well, what I don't understand is Kelly is not my favorite, but my goodness, we have seen, Jamie, you and I have been in the arena before where people just love her. We see it on TV. She gets a great reaction. How is she not even being used correctly?
All right.
And, Jamie, what really bothers me is that this would now be almost the fourth WrestleMania in a row that the Divas Championship wasn't defended. I mean, it's been quite a while. We went to WrestleMania 25. It was a ridiculous battle royal. The next year was a multi-person tag. Last year was Snooki. I mean, you got to go back. I don't even think at WrestleMania 24. I think that was a tag team match. So it's been a long time. It's been a long time since the Divas title has been defended. This seemed like a good year. Beth has had a good run as champion. This would have been a good year to have her one-on-one with a strong contender. I'd have been okay with Eve. I'd have been okay with Kelly, but it should have been Natalya.
Yeah, I agree. I do think, based on what I've read recently, they are going to try to get a Divas match on the main card. Who knows? I mean, that's all subject to change, which is just another issue, that they're changing things right up until, you know, the bell rings at WrestleMania. TNA, Impact. Dave, Austin Aries has made a name for himself in TNA. The former Ring of Honor star considered retiring after not being selected for last season's WWE Tough Enough. Does he have enough to be a main eventer in TNA? Look, Austin Aries, when I watched Ring of Honor several years ago, and there was a time period that I did watch it, he was in a feud with Daniel Bryan, and I really liked this guy. I liked he had a charisma about him. He had a character about him. He had an attitude. I don't want to call him CM Punk Jr. or anything like that, but he was just kind of my kind of wrestler. I was happy to see him come into TNA. He won the X Division Championship, mm-hmm. and I think this guy's got some talent and could really work his way up into main event territory.
Well, I think TNA is smart to push the former ROH stars, because the Ring of Honor really does have a great following, and I could see them transferring and actually coming over and watching the TNA product, following a guy such as Austin, you know, and seeing how he does there. And I do think, you know, you and I talked about this last week with Bully Ray. I think TNA's got to take some chances. I made a note before the show. TNA reminds me of Moneyball, like with the Oakland A's. They've got to play the game a little bit differently. They've got to take a chance on guys that hopefully will catch on, and, you know, instead of relying on people that have been WWE rejects or stars, you know, like with the WWE in the past. So I give them a credit again here. Let's push this guy. Let's push some of these younger kids and see if they can create their own brand.
Yeah, I agree with you. I've actually thoroughly enjoyed watching TNA lately, because they do have a lot of good young talent. I really feel they do, and there's good in-ring action. And I think Austin Aries is one of the guys that can really carry the flag for the TNA brand for years to come. Mm-hmm. And again, he was somebody that was ignored by WWE, and he's a talented performer. I'd much rather see him than you know, some of the things that the WWE throws out there sometimes, Mason Ryan.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, he tried out for Tough Enough, didn't make it. Is it something that wrestling fans won't be able to forget? I think it's very hard to change wrestling fans' minds, actually, when it felt like he couldn't cut it in the other promotion. He couldn't even make Tough Enough. How can they buy him as a main event guy in another promotion?
Yeah, that's a really good point, Dave. And by the way, I love the Moneyball analogy. I think you're spot on with that. I don't think so. I think fans are pretty, you know, fair weather when it comes to professional wrestling. I mean, they've flocked to Punk lately. I mean, Punk's always had a following, but they've really flocked to him lately. You know, look at guys that they booed. I mean, Steve Austin was booed for how long?
Yeah.
So people, you know, wrestlers can make the adjustment into stardom. Last week on Impact, Velvet Sky proclaimed that it was her time to be a top knockout and get a title shot. TNA's loaded with very good knockouts. Where does Velvet Sky stand in the pecking order of knockout talent? And you know what, Dave? When we were talking just a little bit ago about the WWE Divas, I'll tell you, TNA handles their knockouts very well. Mm-hmm. Look at the talent they have. I mean, Velvet Sky is a very talented performer. Then you talk about Mickie James, Angelina Love, you know, Madison Rayne, Gail Kim. There's some talent there. I think TNA does it right, and I think it is Velvet Sky's time. I think she's going to get some title opportunities here, and, you know, she was affiliated with Angelina Love for a long time, mm-hmm. and the beautiful people, but I think this is her time to shine.
Well, they've had luck with WWE stars going there. Mickie James has done well, Gail Kim, as you mentioned. I think this is a time also where she can really stand out. She's put in her time, as you mentioned, as a member of the Beautiful People, and I do think she deserves the chance to stand on top of the division. Now, she was champion last year, but for a very short period of time before she lost the title to Gail Kim.
Correct.
But I'd like to see her get a longer run with the belt. I think she's got a great look. Look, she's not my favorite. I'm not a huge fan of her ring work, but she is sexy. She is athletic. You can buy her as a very credible female wrestler. I want to go back to who we talked about at the very top here with Austin Aries. Again, here is someone who is not a WWE cast off. She is someone who TNA can help, again, create their own brand. She's a TNA creation, quote unquote, and I think they should push her.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, Dave. Who is the top knockout in your mind from a talent standpoint?
Well, I think Gail Kim is sensational. In terms of her athleticism, of course, I think she's gorgeous, but boy. I mean, I think I think she's great. I think Mickey James is a really good wrestler, too. I know every wrestler has good nights and bad nights in the ring. Those are two to me that I really think they can work.
I'll tell you, someday I'd like to see a Beth Phoenix versus Madison Rain main event for Divas or Knockouts, whatever you call it. But I think Madison Rain is a terrific performer and not too bad looking either.
Well, the Beautiful People gimmick was great. Now, there was obviously some tension with Lay Cool in that, you know, did they rip off the Beautiful People? And let's be honest about something here before we move on. No wrestler has ever created a new gimmick in the last 20 years. Someone's ripping off someone almost on every move or personality they come up with. Everyone's piecing together something from something, right?
Well, yeah, except for hardcore country. I don't think we've seen that before. So go Mickey James.
Or since.
Garrett Bischoff has been involved in recent TNA storylines. Is this good for TNA, or does it come off kind of WCW-ish? And when I say WCW-ish, the first name that comes to mind is David Flair.
Oish.
Now, Garrett has some credibility in that he was a referee in TNA for a little while, but is this another WCW-type gimmick? Dave, what do you think?
Well, we see nepotism everywhere, don't we? We see it in sports, we see it in business, certainly see it in professional wrestling, and sometimes it does work. Look at all the second and third generation stars that, you know, let's face it, got their start or got an easier road to the top. Randy Orton, The Rock, Mr. Perfect. It's worked for a lot of guys. It even worked okay for Vince McMahon's children. I think Steph and Shane have done a good job when given the chance. So I'm not completely down on this type of thing. I think, Jamie, it's like anything else in wrestling. If the story is well written, anything can get over with the fans.
You know, and you mentioned the second and third generation wrestlers, and again, they're coming from wrestling families. They're coming from performing families.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you did mention the McMahons, and that's a good point with Shane and so forth. But Shane and Stephanie, they were never really seen as true performers. They're trying to make Garrett a true in-ring performer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wish the kid the best. I really do. I hope he performs well. I don't think TNA needs to do this right now. I think they've got some good things going on with some of their other talent. I would hate to see some of their other talent, we mentioned Austin Aries before, you know, have to take kind of a sidetrack to allow a guy like Garrett Bischoff, you know, get some television time. But no, if it's just kind of a sideshow for Garrett Bischoff and what they're doing, so be it. But again, I'd rather see some of these guys that are busting their butts day in and day out get those opportunities.
I think it's funny you mentioned David Flair. I mean, when you and I watched WCW and he came out, he looked like he was my dentist.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he didn't look – that was, to me, the problem there. It wasn't so much that it was Ric Flair's son. It was – he was really scrawny, wasn't he? He didn't even look like a pro wrestler.
Dave, I actually – you know, I do not lift weights, as you know. I think I have a bigger bicep than he had. It was bordering on embarrassing. The only thing worse was Little Nate, but we won't get into that today.
Well, and to finish this real quick, I said how I think anything can get over with the fans if it's well written. I remember seeing The Undertaker for the first time thinking, boy, this guy's on a one-way ticket out of town. You know, that was back in the early 90s. That guy went on to become an absolute legend. I thought he had no shot with that silly gimmick, and it turned out it was great, maybe the greatest character WWE ever created.
Completely agree.
Wildcard topic number one. Recently, wrestling legend Bruno Sammartino discussed the reasons why he is not yet in the WWE Hall of Fame. Apparently he felt snubbed, but then he tries to play it off like the Hall of Fame is no big deal, on and on. I mean, who does Bruno think he's hurting here? Jamie, you and I have been to the Hall of Fame ceremony before. If you take it for what it is, it's kind of fun. It's a cool ceremony and a nice honor for those inducted. Bruno, who's he really hurting here? He's actually hurting his fans who would like to see him have that moment. I think holding grudges in general is a waste of time. I think Bruno should maybe put his pride aside, go to Vince, and I think they should work this out. He should be in the WWE Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean, Bruno has no problem pimping himself out to local shows. I mean, he wrestled in the main event of a show not even 1 mile from my house a couple months ago.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. He wrestled at a show at York County School of Technology.
It wasn't David San Martino, was it?
No, it wasn't, believe it or not. Thank God. Thank God. You know, he was at Wrestle Reunion last year signing autographs. Bruno, come on. We love you. We have fond memories of you. Do the right thing. Accept the invitation. Sorry Vince snubbed you at first.
Right.
He's offered out his hand now. Just accept it.
Oh, that's absolutely right. And, Jamie, the Hall of Fame, again, gets criticized for, you know, it's not really, you can't go to, you and I can't take our children to the WWE Hall of Fame. It's not an actual building like in baseball. What does it really mean? And we all know it's just Vince's creation. But there has seemed to become some sense of credibility to it. And there does seem to be an honor for those who are selected. So I think in this case, I get disappointed when people can't adapt to the times. I mean, everyone knows when Bruno wrestled for the WWWF, way back when, it was just a different business. And it seems like Bruno's being a little thick-headed here. He should accept it, wear the nice ring, because he really does belong alongside all those other names. Interesting, Ric Flair's going in this year, even though he's already in by himself, with the Horsemen as he's under TNA contract.
That's right, and Ric Flair was at the event last year when Shawn Michaels was inducted. Diamond Dallas Page seems to show up every year. There's definitely credibility there. So completely agree with you, Dave. Bruno, come on, do the right thing.
What do you think about this year's Hall of Fame class real quick?
I like the Horsemen. Mm-hmm. I think it was too early for Edge, and I love Edge. I mean, you know I've always been a big fan of Edge. So you know, those two are kind of the highlights, I guess, of the class. Ron Simmons, obviously. But, yeah, Dave, I mean, the class is pretty good. And like I said, I'm happy for Edge. I just think it should have been held off. You and I have often talked about, you know, this would have been a great time to do the Macho Man and Elizabeth in the state of Florida. You know, obviously Vince lets his ego get in the way a little bit.
Oh, here, make me cry.
Wild card topic number two. Recent reports seem to indicate that the WWE is having significant trouble getting cable TV and satellite deals for the WWE network. What is the likelihood the network will be launched in 2012, and is it feasible to have a 24-hour wrestling network dedicated to all things WWE? Dave, the more this goes on, you know, I'm really concerned about it. I don't know if this is the right thing. First of all, my understanding is they do want to show all things WWE content. None of this, you know, go off at midnight and have some infomercials, things like that. How can they fill up 24 hours a day, 365 days a year with WWE programming? And, you know, the fact that they're having trouble getting deals, that's not a good sign.
You have been involved in the business world ever since you left college and at the upper levels of organizations. Did the WWE make a huge strategical error here, even announcing this as far ahead of time as they did?
Yes, I think they did. Now, keep in mind, it would have slipped out because you do need to build infrastructure for these things. This somewhat is analogous back to Vince's early days when he wanted to get into the bodybuilding business, right?
Oh, God.
Right? I mean, and he thought this was the next big thing, and he was going to broadcast this, it was going to be on TV, et cetera.
Although, in fairness, you and I were going to get into bodybuilding business, too.
I did talk about my biceps a little bit earlier, and I could win a bodybuilding contest against David Flair, but... But it really does kind of stink of the whole bodybuilding business. I think Vince has a plan, pushes forward, and he's very entrepreneurial. I give the man credit.
Yeah.
But this was a big reach, and they keep, you know, talking about it. And I don't think it's going to happen in 2012. I question if it's ever going to happen.
Well, sometimes I think companies should just stick to what they do best. And I think what WWE does better than any company in the world is tell stories. And the way, in my opinion, The Rock and John Cena has me ready to go. I want to see this match. They've done a good job. What they may not be the best at is, you know, movie making, which those movies, I don't know if you like the WWE movies or not, but a lot of them aren't very good, in my opinion.
Yeah,
and Vince is entrepreneurial. It's a great point. And companies do need to take risks. I'm worried about this because I don't want this to be a black eye on the company. I like the WWE YouTube channel. I think that's something they could have really explored and keep exploring instead of maybe their own network. Lastly, I will tune in out of curiosity, and I hope I can watch old episodes of Primetime Wrestling, etc., but I don't necessarily need to sit at home and watch 24 hours a day of WWE.
No, I would find it interesting, though, Dave, if they threw in a couple house shows here and there.
Oh, yeah, that would be good.
Maybe some Florida Championship Wrestling. I would be interested in that. But
And Jamie, real quick, I'm more interested in what you just said. House shows would be great. I'm much more interested in that than in some fabricated reality show like Legends House.
Yeah, I'm tired of hearing about Legends House. I really am. But, yeah, I think it's a bad move right now, and I just question if it's going to get off the ground. It's time for Blast from the Past.
Okay.
And I'm going to hit you with one from 1998. What do you remember about the One Warrior Nation?
One Warrior Nation.
Or what do you want to forget about the One Warrior Nation?
Well, I'm laughing because the Ultimate Warrior is just funny to talk about. But I will admit.
He's just Warrior now, right?
Oh, I'm sorry. Warrior, yes. Warrior's just, he's always funny to talk about. But at the time, I have to admit, I thought it was worth the risk for WCW. I thought he could come in and be a good foil to the NWO. We needed more people at the time other than just Goldberg versus the NWO. And so to me, I thought that the Warrior could kind of come in and, you know, maybe kick a little ass. It would be kind of a nice dynamic to the show. I didn't realize at the time the Warrior was nuts.
Yeah. You know, Dave, I remember as clear as day being, you know, sitting in front of my TV with goosebumps seeing the Warrior come out. And as it ended up, you know, it's in the annals of WCW debacles, I think this is one of the biggest ones. I mean, from the stupid skits where Hogan would see Warrior in the mirror and then turn around and he wasn't there, to Halloween Havoc where... what, Hogan tried to light him on fire and then ended up lighting himself on fire?
And then I remember lighting myself on fire.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to light myself on fire. I mean, it was, again, and these, you know, I did a blast from the past last week on Berlin, and I go back and forth which debacle is worse. But, you know, I keep thinking of these blasts from the past, and I keep conjuring up memories of these WCW failures, so I apologize to the audience that I keep bringing up WCW failures, but that's my memory of WCW.
We'll get to plenty of WWE, you know, failures and blasts. I mean, people do remember Isaac Yankum.
But let me just
– I think you and I have a different opinion here because I do think Warrior was worth the risk. I think – I remember at the time thinking, One Warrior Nation, that's kind of clever.
Yeah,
it's a little play on words.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just think that it was worth the risk at the time. However, it didn't go the right way, obviously. But I don't think it was along the same lines as the Demon. Remember the Kiss Demon they brought in, which was just awful from the start?
You took away my blast from the past for next week, Dave.
Ah. Cheese and crackers. You are going to go with just WCW fans.
Yeah, oh, but believe me, you could take up five of them. I'd have five more.
Now, don't forget to check out the OWW website at onlineworldofwrestling.com for the latest news, analysis, and updates from the world of professional wrestling. While you are there, you can also catch up on past episodes of OWW Radio. Email us at radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com to submit topics and questions you would like us to discuss on an upcoming broadcast. Also, make sure to follow us on Twitter at OWWCOM. That's OWWCOM to get all program updates and announcements. We will also be posting directly to the official OWW Radio Facebook homepage. Next week, we'll break down TNA's upcoming Victory Road pay-per-view, the upcoming Shimmer tapings, the march towards WrestleMania, Ring of Honor, and much more. So, until next time, I am David.
And I am Jamie.
And we hope you've enjoyed the program. We'll be back soon with another edition of OWW Radio.
All right, well that's okay.